challenged us that part of who we are is because of the women in our life. The women, our mothers who gave us birth, who taught us and instructed us over the years. And on Mother's Day, it's a day to honor you and to thank you for all you've done. And to treat mothers with special honor and dignity. And what every mother wants is on Mother's Day is to have breakfast in bed, right? Jack, did you get Sandy breakfast in bed this morning? Katie, did you get your mother breakfast in bed this morning? Nope. Every mother wants breakfast in bed, right? Or maybe a night off and not have to deal with the kids or grandkids. Maybe every mother wants special pampering to have a night where they could just go out and away from every responsibility and just take it easy. Right, Tara? No? No cooking or cleaning? Sure, every mother wants those kind of things. All the special pampering, right? Well, what do mothers really want? Those things are nice, but what do mothers really want? I believe is what we're going to find as we continue this discovery through the book of 1 Thessalonians. We've been walking through this book together, and last week we had seen that Paul treated the Thessalonians and cared for them like a mother cares for her own children. We had seen that in verse 7 where Paul reminded them that he was gentle among you like a mother caring for her little children. And Paul, as a mother would care for their child, so Paul cared for the Thessalonians. And as we seen last week, as Paul described his ministry in their midst, he reflected on that. And as we continue through this book, we're going to discover that as Paul cared for the Thessalonians, and the love that he's shown for them is the same kind of love that mothers show for their children and for us. And through Paul's example and ministry to the Thessalonians, as we continue in chapter 2, as Jane just read for us, picking up in verse 13 today, we're going to discover what mothers really want. Because yes, those things are nice. It's nice to have breakfast in bed. It's nice to have a night off every now and then, or to be pampered. But what mothers really want, I believe, is the respect of their children, right? What mothers really want is for their children to grow up and to fear the Lord. John said, "I have no greater joy than to know that my children walk in truth." And as we look at these few verses of Thessalonians this morning, we discover that there are two things that every mother really wants for their children. And it's the same two things that God, our Father, really wants for us as well. And as Paul is writing back to the Thessalonians, and remember the context of this book, he only had a few weeks with them. He didn't have too much time with them before the riot happened, and he was driven out of town. But now writing back, reflecting on their life and their ministry. What does every mother really want? What does the Lord really want for us? The first one is this, and I believe every mother is going to say amen, because every mother wants their child to heed godly instruction. Don't you want your children to listen, right? Don't you want them to listen to what you're trying to teach them and the instruction that you try to give? And God, as well as our Father, wants us to heed godly instruction. Notice verse 13. He said, "And I continually thank God," as Paul is reflecting on the Thessalonians and their ministry and his time with them, he said, "I continue to thank God continually, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it as the word of truth, word of man, which it actually is, the word of God at work in you who believe." As Paul thought of the Thessalonians, he was thankful that they heard the word of God and they received it and they accepted it. Every mother wants their child, their children, their grandchildren to listen, to heed the instruction of the Lord, right? Even every father wants that. God wants that of us. And this morning, the first principle that we need to apply to our life is that God is pleased. God is honored. What God really wants from us this morning is to heed that instruction. And how does it happen? It happens by letting His word, letting His instruction speak into us. He says that when you heard it, you received the word of truth, the word of God, which you heard from us and you accepted it. Paul, when writing back to the Thessalonians, reminded them that the word and the teaching that Paul had given to them in that relatively short time, because as he went into Thessalonica on that second missionary trip and began to preach in the synagogues, and those that heard the word and believed, it was that relatively short time, but he reminded them that the words that he was sharing, the message that he was giving, did not come from him. It came from God himself. He said, it is the word of God. And the instruction that you and I receive from his word, and as we come together on Sunday mornings, it's not mine. I'm not here to give you my word. I'm here to give you God's word. And God wants us to hear his word and to receive it, to let him speak to us, to be quiet before him and to let him speak, because Paul reminded them that he is the source. He said, it is the word of God. He was reminding them it did not come from him. It was not the words of Paul. It is the word of God himself. That he is the source. It is from him. And the word of God, the scripture, is given under inspiration of God, meaning that God breathed his word here into existence. And that every word that we received is the word of God breathed. As Peter said, that the scriptures were written as men were carried along by the Holy Spirit using their individual personalities. And God carried them through his Holy Spirit, enabled them to write his very word to you and I. So when you read the scripture and you hear it taught, when you open it up in your daily time, know that God is speaking to you personally. It's the message, God's personal letter from him to your very heart. And he wants you to heed his instruction. He is the source. His word to you and to me. But he is also the content, because it's not only the word of God, it's the word from him, it's the word of God as well, that it is about him. The scripture is about the Lord, his love letter to us, and he's revealed the scripture to us so we can know him better. That's why he gave it. There's two different kinds of the ways in which God's revealed himself to us. God's revealed himself generally to the whole world through revelation, through creation. And through the creation, he has revealed that there is a God that exists, because when you look at the glory of the creation, the scripture says creation reveals the glory and the handiwork of God. We can't look at all that God has made and say, wow, somebody had to have made that. And it reveals his glory, but he revealed to us personally himself through his word. And he's given us his word so that we can know about that creator in a personal way. So that you and I can know individually who he is. So as you read the word, look for Jesus. Look for the word, because it's his personal love letter communicating to you. Let him speak to you as we heed his instruction, but also let it in. Because it says here, He was thankful for Thessalonians, not only that they received the word of truth, the word of God, God's word, they received it, but he said they also accepted it. He said, because you accepted it not as the word of man, but as it actually is the very word of God. They accepted it, which means taking it into heart. To let it in means to embrace it. That when God speaks to us in his word, and you come to him in your personal times, and he's speaking to you, to embrace what he is saying. That means all of it, even the things we don't like. It means to accept its authority over us and to align ourselves with it. And there is a movement today in many churches, unfortunately, where people are trying to make God's word say what they want it to say in order to justify a type of behavior that they have. And because of that, they say, well, God's word doesn't mean that anymore. No, we don't align. We align ourselves to his truth, right? And that to embrace it means what he says, we take it to heart and we live it out in our life. We don't change the word of God. We let the word of God change us. And the things that we don't like, the things that the word of God brings to bear in our life that we don't like, that we make us uncomfortable, embracing it means we accept his authority over us, that the word of God is the final say, and we judge what we believe and live by his word in his truth only, not by what the teaching of man. Paul said it wasn't the teaching of man, it's the teaching of God, right? And heeding God's instruction means to let him speak, embrace what he's saying willingly, fully accepting it for what he is and what he's saying to us. To align ourselves with it, and it also means to internalize it. That means to take it in, to take it to heart, to take it seriously, to let it get into us. That when we read the Word of God and he speaks to you and I, or we come to a worship service or in your own personal devotions and God is speaking to you, it's taking his Word to heart, not only knowing, not only getting information and knowledge of God and who he is, but it's applying it, living it in our life and doing what he says. And we haven't begun to live out until it's within us. It's letting his Word get into us, to you and to me. It's taking it seriously, letting it in. When you read the Word of God, is that your attitude? Lord, show me where I need to change, and then show me how to live this out in our life. That's what every mother wants for their child. That's what God wants for us, to heed that instruction, which means letting it into us, letting it get into us, and letting it speak to us. But it also means to let it work. Because he said, notice in verse 13, he said, you received the Word of God, the source. You accepted it. You took it to heart. You let it into your life as the Word of God, which is at work. Which is at work. Don't miss the importance of what God is saying there, what Paul is saying, that God, the Word of God, when we take it in, is at work in you and me. His Word working in us because it is active. The Word of God is live and active within us, able to penetrate into the deepest parts of us, to change us, to make us more like Jesus. This is not a dead book. This is a live, living book, the very Word of God, breathed into existence by him and alive and active in our heart, at work within us to make us more like Christ. As we let him work. But how does that work happen? It's active in us, changing us. But that change happens over time. It may not be instantaneous. Sometimes it is. Sometimes the Lord may change us instantaneously, but sometimes that change more often is over time. And it may not be as noticeable to us because it's over time, and that change can be more gradual. But I want to ask you a question this morning to illustrate this point. Have you remembered every single word that I've ever said in a sermon over the years? Have you remembered every single sermon I've given? You're laughing. No. Do you remember every single thing you read in the Word of God? When you read the Scripture, do you remember everything you read? No. You say, well, then what's the use? If you don't remember the sermons I give, why come? If you don't remember everything we read, why bother? And we say, why? Let me illustrate it this way. Jack, do you remember everything Sandy's ever cooked for you over the years? You remember every single meal she's made for you? Nope. But you know she did, right? And you know they all been good. And you knew they were all helpful to you. And if she wouldn't have eaten those meals on a consistent basis, physically, we wouldn't have the strength to live. I would get sick. And it changes and sustains us. It's the same with the Word of God. We may not remember every sermon we hear. We may not remember everything we've read. But the constant exposure to the Word of God over time is changing us for the work within us. Do you believe that? And constantly exposed to the Word of God, coming together on Sunday mornings, reading it, and letting ourselves be exposed and taking it in and drinking it in over time, will make that gradual changes over our life that we may realize, boy, you know what? I don't let those words fly as much as I used to. You know what? I don't get as angry as much as I used to. You know what? I can forgive that person now. I used to not be able to. Wonder why? You know why? Because that constant exposure to the Word of God is changing us from within. It's at work within us. Aren't you thankful for that? Another way to illustrate it is that if when we're around people that we see all the time, we don't notice a change in them. But if you ever run into somebody that you haven't seen in years, maybe you haven't seen him in a long time, and then you run into him and say, boy, have they changed. Maybe they've gotten older, or maybe they've gained weight, maybe they've grown up or grown out, you know, and that happened to me recently in January when I was at the Pastoral Assessment Center. One of the young guys that came before us for assessment was a guy, as I knew him, was a young kid from the Bridgeville Church. That was the last time I had seen him. The last time I had seen him was like 3 or 4, he was about 4 years old. 4 or 5 years old when we left there, and that's how I remembered him. And he came before us as a full-grown man and said, wow, what a change. And that's how it is with God's word over time. When people see you that may not see you for a while, by that constant exposure to God's word, taking it in, letting God's word work in you, they're going to see that change. And you say, man, Sandy, you're different. I can really see Jesus in you a lot more. You've really changed. Because it becomes evident over time. So let it in. Let his words active in us. Let his word work in us, producing within us what he wants. Because changing us and restoring us. Part of the word is active. It's restoring us in those times when we need to be restored in sin. When we've fallen into sin. And his word again speaking into our heart, active within us, restores us back and brings us to that point of repentance. His word encourages us and refreshes us. That just as on a parched day, on a hot day, when we're thirsty and we need that refreshment, the word of God is like that water to our soul that refreshes us on a hot day, bringing us spiritual refreshment when we need it. And the word of God equips us to help us to live effectively for him, to help us to overcome and to live in a way that he wants us to. It's active, but it's also effective because it is at work within us, affecting change, affecting behavior, affecting Christ-likeness within us. So what does every mother want for their child? They want their child to heed godly instruction. Sally, you want Katie to listen, right? To heed your instruction because your wisdom to impart to her. God wants us to heed his wisdom that he's imparting to us. First principle. But the second principle we see, that what every mother wants, what God wants from his children, is to imitate good behavior. Not only to listen to good instruction, godly instruction, but to imitate and to do what's right. Doesn't every parent want their child to do what's right? And to imitate good behavior and not bad. That's why you discipline. That's why you teach. That's why you instruct. That's why God's revealed his word to us as well. And Paul, as he was reflecting on the Thessalonians here, in his ministry in their midst, he said, I thank God for the way you received the word. But then he said in verse 14, I also thank God because you brothers have become imitators of God's churches in Judea, which are in Christ Jesus. He said that even though they were believers for a relatively short time, and even Paul did not have much time there to minister to them, they still became imitators of Christ. And they became imitators of godly behavior. And Paul praised them for that. And that brought a smile to the Lord's face and to Paul's face. Because children love to imitate others. You know, they love to imitate those they respect. And you know, when a father's shaving and the son's trying to pretend like he's shaving too, you know, or they try to imitate, and the kids learn a lot by imitation. And as believers in Christ, God wants us to imitate that which is good, that which demonstrates the character of Christ. Because though they imitated the churches in Judea, which were the same in Christ Jesus. They were imitating the character of Christ, seeking to become like him. And that's God's calling of you and I, to seek to become like him. And Paul said, imitate me as I imitate Jesus. That's something brilliant to say. That must have showed the kind of man that Paul was. For he told people, imitate me because I'm imitating Christ. And sometimes we wonder if we would want people to imitate us sometimes. Maybe in the way we live or the way we, our attitude sometimes, we want people to imitate that. But to seek to live what demonstrates the character of Christ, that's what he wants for us. And that's the kind of behavior he's seeking. That's what every parent wants for their child. That's what God wants for us. And also that which shows the glory of Christ. He goes on to say in verse 14, not only did you become imitators of the nature of Jesus, the churches that are in Christ, but you suffered from your own countrymen the same things that those churches suffered from the Jews. This is what's hard to hear. But Paul says, in reminding and praising the Thessalonians because they imitated the good behavior which showed the glory of Christ. And what shows the glory of Christ in us? Suffering. And that's hard to hear. We don't like that. But remember, it was through Job's life of his suffering that God was glorified through him. Satan was silenced in that challenge that was put before him. That Satan challenged God about Job's character. Whenever Job glorified God through his suffering. And God can use suffering in our life as much as we don't like it and as painful as it is to bring glory to him. Sometimes that's why he allows it. We wonder why. But turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 4. Verses 12 through 16. And Peter was writing these words to the church that was suffering, a church that was being persecuted on account of the faith. Around the world today, there are many Christians who are being persecuted on account of the gospel. And through their suffering, they are bringing glory to Christ. Many of the martyrs marched into the Colosseums in Rome, praising God and giving glory to him, even to their death. Hard to do. But he says here in 1 Peter 4, verse 12, dear friends, don't be surprised at the painful trial you were suffering as though something strange were happening to you. Because this is, he said, normal. But rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed. For the spirit of glory and if God rests on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or a thief or any kind of criminal or even a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. Paul said that suffering happens in our lives sometimes to bring glory to him. And Paul was reminding the Thessalonians that they were suffering from their own countrymen and from the Jews who killed Jesus and the prophets and drove them out, and they were suffering, but yet God was being glorified through them, and they were commended because they were imitating the behavior of Christ, imitating Jesus. So when those hardships come, those trials in our life come, how can God be glorified through it? Through it all, we have to learn somehow to seek him. Imitating that good behavior which glorifies him, which demonstrates his character, and last, which wins his pleasure. That which makes him smile, that which pleases him. Because Paul goes on here, down to verse 16, talking about the Jews and those who killed Jesus. And he said, the Jews killed the Lord Jesus and the prophets and drove us out. And they displease God and are hostile with all men in their effort to keep us from speaking to the Gentiles so that they may be saved. And in this way, they will always heap on them their sins to their limit, and the wrath of God has come upon them at last. Paul here was talking about the persecution that the Thessalonians were enduring and the suffering that was being caused by the unbelieving world. And it was being caused by those who were hostile. And And he said that was, they thought they were doing the work of God, as Paul thought he was before he was saved. He thought he was doing the work of God. And he thought he was pleasing God, but he realized he wasn't. And God, they were not pleasing God's, they were not, did not have God's pleasure, or were they winning his affection? Paul wants us to imitate that which brings pleasure to Christ, which makes him smile, which brings glory. He said, they displease God and are hostile, but he wants us to walk in the way of pleasing him. Last week we learned how to walk worthy of Christ, and we had seen that as we had looked earlier in these verses of that way of walking worthy of him, which makes him smile. Imitating good behavior, imitating the like and character of Christ. That's what God calls for us. That's what every mother wants. So as we celebrate Mother's Day, as we journey through this book together, as we honor you mothers for your faith, what every mother really wants from her children, what God really wants from us, heed godly instruction and imitate good and godly behavior. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word to us and for the example of Paul and for his this church at Thessalonica, Lord, which was such a strong church in faith. That even though they endured hardship and persecution, even though Paul did not have a long time amongst them to teach them, they took your word to heart, what they had been taught, and they listened well. And they knew that the word that they had received was not the word of man, but it was yours. And they took it to heart and they heeded that instruction, and it bore fruit in their life. And Lord, that's what you call to us, to take your word to heart, the instruction that we receive from your word, the teaching, and consistently over time, letting it work within us to change us, to make us into more and more like you. Letting your word speak, letting your word in, and letting your word work in us to make us the kind of people that you want us to be. Not only heeding that instruction, knowing you better and walking in it, but Lord, also to imitate godly behavior. To let your character, the character of Christ, guide us as we seek to imitate you in how we treat others, to treat others as you treat us, to forgive others as you forgive us, to love others as you love us. And to do that, Lord, which brings honor and glory to you. And even in those times of suffering that come our way, that through that time that somehow your glory would be seen in us, and that people would be just as Job, that we don't curse you, but we give you glory even in those times of hardship, as difficult as they may be. So thank you, Lord, for your will, revealing your will to us again this morning of what you want for us, your children, today. And help us to hear and apply your word to our life as we live for you each and every day. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.